just going to speak briefly this morning. And we're going to give us a little bit of more festival. I wanted to tell you a story that I heard about a man named Joe. Joe dedicated a lot of his life to playing football. And I was actually the center of his life. And there was a very critical moment in his life and his career that involved a child, actually a couple of children, who were in danger. And his life and his legacy is defined by how he reacted to that situation. Raise your hand if you think you know what I'm going with this. Actually, you'll be surprised. I'm not going that direction you think I'm going. The man I'm talking about is named Joe Delaney. Anybody ever heard that name? Joe Delaney was a football player in the 1980s. He was drafted in the first round by the Kansas City Chiefs. And his rookie year was very successful. In fact, he won the Rookie of the Year award as a running back. And he was doing so well in his first year. He was drawing comparisons of some of the great running backs in football history. And in the second year, he was injured, so he didn't have a great season, but there was a great promise to see for young Joe. He was 24 years old and was coming into the prime of his career. He happened to be at a park one day where there was a fair going on, and there was a lake there, and he heard the screams. Children who had fallen into the lake and were drowning. And Joe had a decision to make. What do I do with these three children who are crying? Joe was not a good swimmer. He was an inexperienced swimmer. Joe was also poised to make a lot of money as an NFL player. And Joe decided to dive into the water to try to save these children. Did anybody know what happened to Joe? Anybody know the story? Joe Brown, I believe, one of the children lived. Another one also died, I believe, lived, and the other one died. And if you go to the football stadium in Kansas City, they actually retired Joe's number, 37, and it's on the stadium wall. Only played a year and a half in the NFL, but in Kansas City, he was one of the most famous players who ever played there. Now, in gospel reading today, the lesson is, who is my neighbor? And the moral of the story, the answer is, my neighbor is everybody. And how we react toward our neighbor is going to have a lot to say about our legacy, not only on this earth, but in God's heavenly kingdom. And we've heard a lot of news about another person named Joe this week, whose life is centered around football, and whose legacy is going to be defined by how he dealt with his children that were in trouble. And there are questions that are asked, like, what is the legal obligation that someone has? What is the moral obligation that someone has? And someone also raised a question on a show I was listening to this week about what is the human obligation when your neighbor is in trouble. I mean, if you were walking out, if you were standing and you were having a conversation and someone fell down the stairs outside, we'd all stop what we're doing and we would run to their aid. Not because the law tells us we have to do that, but because that's the basic human response. Human beings, these other human beings fall down and go to help that human being. At least that's what we're supposed to do. Now let's take another example. Let's say at our festival today, if someone goes into serious medical distress, they have a heart attack, passed on the floor, God forbid. What's the reaction to that? The reaction to going to the hall and say, call 911 while I go to my car and leave. That's not the appropriate reaction. The appropriate reaction is, I'll either go call 911 myself, or I'll make sure that someone does. I'll stay here until the fire department gets here, and I'll make sure that before I leave the scene, that my neighbor is okay. That's not vegetables in, with a plate of hot food. We saw something fall down. We said, I cannot go because I got a plate of hot food that I paid $10 for. So I need to leave my hot food before it gets cold. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You know, somebody flushes you 5-10 minutes of your life and the food gets cold, you either eat cold food or you will pay $10 for hot food. It doesn't cost a whole lot to call the neighbor to distress. And then, a Samaritan was passing by and saw a man on the road. The man on the road was a Jew. He was a mortal enemy of the Samaritan. So not only did the Samaritan take time out of his day, not only did he work for all the course of his life that day, but he actually took a chance of helping a sworn enemy. He took a chance on perhaps ruining his reputation. He took a chance maybe that maybe that man would come to him and he wanted to beat him up. They were sworn enemies. But the man took care of him. The Samaritan took care of the man on the road. He took him to an inn, spent the night there with him. The next day he had to continue his journey. He took out some money and gave the innkeeper and said, take care of this guy. And it wasn't because of the loss that he had to do it. It was because there's an unwritten moral and human code that says, help your neighbor. And in the parable today, Jesus tells us, love your neighbor as yourself, and everybody is your neighbor. Now we wonder, how can I possibly help my neighbor? There are a myriad of ways to help the neighbor. Let me just focus on one of them. Don't allow anyone to hurt your neighbor. And you don't hurt your neighbor. If we can't help the neighbor, at least let's not hurt the neighbor. And if someone is hurting the neighbor, let's do the human thing and stop that. And how about other ways that we hurt our neighbor? We've heard a big one in the news this week. And that's not going to happen to everybody. Not everybody's going to stumble on some traumatic situation like that. There are even less subtle, less traumatic ways that our neighbors get hurt. Those of us who go to a workplace, there are many people who work there. There's always a person who's like the unpopular person that are being kind of gossiped about. That's what she's your neighbor. So stop that. Step forward and say, you know, 10 of us work here. Why are we thinking about so-and-so? Let's not do that. Let's not hurt our neighbor. And that dynamic plays out your neighborhood too. If you know 4 or 5 of your neighbors, and there's a neighbor that you all find bad about, you find bad about. Don't allow that. Don't walk away from an opportunity. Stop a neighbor from getting hurt. And if everybody does that, if everyone can just stop hurting your neighbor and encourage you to stop hurting your neighbor, that is a big stride to make the world a better place. And that's the lesson of the Good Samaritan, or at least one of them. I also want to say briefly that today is a very important holiday in our church. Today is the feast day of St. John Chrysostom, the saint who wrote the Divine Liturgy that we're celebrating on Sundays. And he did tours of the church during the festival. People watching here, many of whom have never entered Orthodox Church, but now it's dropped in some miles. What an amazing building that you worship in. And they asked him about the nature of our worship, you know, how old is it, what kind of preparation do I make for offering service, do I have to study and think about what kind of prayers I'm going to say, things like that. And they said, well, we've been celebrating the same divine liturgy for 1600 years. Written by St. John Chrysostom. And so when I come, the only preparation for worship is a spiritual preparation. I come and worship, but there's no preparation in terms of opening a book and saying, what prayers am I going to offer today? And one of the amazing things about St. John Chrysostom and the liturgy being so old is we don't have a class of old in the world anymore. You know, you can feel like the phone is 6 months old and you have to replace it. That's old. But in 1600 years, if you've never had a meeting, you've all heard the word change this service because it's perfect just the way it is, because it was inspired by the Holy Spirit and written by a man who is very spiritual, whose life was dedicated to the Lord, who has the title of the golden mouth, because he is one of the greatest orators and preachers of the gospel that has ever lived. So that is the main topic. So as we meet church today, remember the story of Job, not the Job you heard about when we reached last week, when the Job lived in the 1980s, he made a critical decision to save life of one child, it cost me his own life, but I have to think that the son would have to send himself before God for judgment, God is going to say, love your neighbor more than yourself, and to be in judgment.
Well done.